One thing about going through, we're in the book of John. Go ahead and turn to chapter 6. It's page 1296 in my book. In those little ones, you know, the ones that we have under the, on Wednesday nights, how many of you don't have anything to do on Wednesday nights, by the way? Anybody? Raise your hand. Don't make me come out there after y'all. We have dinner at 6, and then we just have a time of fellowship. Anyway, we were trying to look at the Bible, and we have these Bibles that if you want a Bible, you can have them, but the print is like, I mean, I'm at that age where I got to go like, what is this? You know, anyway, if you use one of those Bibles, fine. Use your app, use whatever. We're in John chapter 6. One thing about going through the Gospel of John, we find a bunch of these stories that we're familiar with. And this happens to be a boat story in a sense. But let me tell you what kind of boat story it is not. It's not the story of Jesus sleeping on the boat and a storm comes up and they wake him up because they're panicked and said, "Don't you care, we're about to perish." And Jesus calms the storm. This isn't where Jesus calms the storm. You know, it's a different boat story. This is not a boat story where all of the disciples are fishing and they're doing their thing and Jesus asks them to leave their boats and their nets and everything to say, "Come follow me." It's not one of those stories where he's saying, "Leave your boat and come follow me." This is not the story where Peter, it could be the story where they see Jesus coming walking on the water and Peter says, "Well, if it's really you, call me to come out to you." But in John, this is not that same story. What this is the story of, this is a story of Christ getting into our boat. And I think it's important because there's a storm that comes up and yet Jesus comes out to them and gets in their boat. So this is a story about how Jesus is with us in the midst of the storms. And so it's a familiar story. So let's go ahead and look at it. It's John chapter 6 and it's verse 16 through 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into the boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. And again, it's the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, or Lake Gennesaret. Okay? It was now dark and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. A couple things about this story. What happens, Jesus just fed the multitude. And he's going up into a quiet place to kind of get away, to recharge. And he sends the disciples, says, "Like, we're going to go to the other side of the sea. So you guys go ahead. I'm going to go up here and spend some time with my Father." Okay? If I were paraphrasing it, that's the way I would do it, okay? But that's exactly what was happening. Jesus was going up on top of this mountain. And again, from the top of the mountain, you can see the Sea of Galilee. You can see everything that's happening. And Jesus sees that there's a storm that comes up. They're experienced sailors, fishermen, most of them. And so they know how to maneuver a boat, but not in a storm that comes up. So what happens is the storm comes up. They're not going anywhere. They're not making any headway. Jesus sees them. He comes down. He starts to walk on the water to them. They see him. They think he's a ghost. According to some of Mark, I believe, it says that they thought it was a ghost appearing to them. And so they were frightened. And then Jesus tells them, "Wait, don't be afraid. It's just me, guys." And again, if I were paraphrasing, that's the way I would say it. "Hey, don't worry, guys, it's just me," you know? And then Jesus gets into the boat with them, the storm stops, and immediately, it's like they could be teleported, we don't know, but boom, immediately they're where they're supposed to be. And so that's kind of the premise of what happens. But I think if we look at the story, there are three things about Jesus that we see. The first thing is we see the disciples without Jesus. And a lot of people in our society today are people without Jesus. Oh, they may know the name. They may know about him. They may know some of the stories. They may, you know, hear some of the things that you know about Jesus that you're sharing, but they don't know Jesus. And so they are without Jesus. And in the midst of their life, there are storms that come up. In fact, let's look at verses 16 through 18. This is what it says. When evening came, the disciples went down to the sea. They got into the boat and they started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. In other words, Jesus had not yet come to them. And in our society today, there are storms that come up in people's lives. I mean, think about the nature of a storm. They come up unexpectedly. None of us sit there, well, most of us never sit there and plan for the worst thing to happen. I remember watching cartoons when I was younger. You remember Gulliver's Travel? There was a guy on there named Glum. And Glum would always go, oh no, we'll never make it. No matter what happened, he was like the Eeyore of the story. He would probably, there's a storm about to happen, even on a bright sunny day. But storms come up unexpectedly. Another thing, the Sea of Galilee, if you think about it, there are mountains that surround it. It's not that deep. It's not that big. And so when the cool wind whips down from the mountains across the hot weather that's on the Sea of Galilee, then storms come up. I was born right kind of beside Lake Erie. And Lake Erie is one of the dangerous of the Great Lakes because it's the smallest. Average depth is 210 feet. It's not that big. And what happens is when the winds start to whip on Lake Erie and the bells go off, get off. Even if you know how to sail, even if you've got the best boat, get off of the lake, because bad things are about to happen. Storms come up unexpectedly. The Sea of Galilee is a likely place for these sudden storms. If there had been a storm before they started, they knew enough about sailing, they wouldn't have gotten a boat. Hey, let's just wait this out, you know, and then let's go across the ship. And the same is true with our lives. I mean, think about it. None of us really look for trouble or difficulties in our lives, but they will come. And when they come, sometimes they hit hard, hard, hard. In John 16, verse 33, let me get there. It says this, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world, this is what Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart because I have overcome the world. But here's the thing. The disciples at this point were without Jesus. They are trying to do stuff in their own strength. And a lot of times when storms come up in our lives, what do we try to do? We're going to fix it on our own. We're going to go through this. We're going to suffer. We're going to make everybody else around us miserable because we're miserable. It can frustrate us. The disciples were counting on the ship and on their abilities, but the ship was tossed like a cork in the middle of this sea. The winds that normally carried them along were now fighting against them. They weren't going anywhere. These were strong, experienced fishermen, and yet they couldn't make any headway. And we all could understand their frustration because sometimes in our lives and the storms that come up in our lives, if we don't have Jesus, if we don't have that anchor, if we don't have that rock, then we are tossed about. So is it any wonder that we look at society today and we see this crazy confusion? They don't know Jesus. They're without hope and they're grasping at straws or whatever they can to navigate the storms that are coming up in their lives. And when we find ourselves in the midst of a trial that we can't control, the first thing we should do is fall on our knees and cry out to our Savior. But oftentimes it's the last resort. I think the second thing besides just without Jesus is the unknown Jesus. Yeah, I know I've heard about Jesus, but I don't really know him. I don't really recognize who you're talking about here. It says to the disciples in verse 19, listen what it says. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. And again, in one of the other, maybe Mark or it might have been Matthew, when he's coming across the water, he appears like a ghost. And they don't recognize that it's Jesus. And a lot of times in our lives, and a lot of, especially in our society today, that we don't see the hand of Jesus. God, are you even listening to us? Where are you in the midst of all of this COVID mess and all of the stuff that's going on? Where are you in the midst of this anger and bitterness and stuff that's going across America? Let me tell you this, Jesus knows all about all of that. God is never caught off guard with any of that. The disciples thought they were alone in the midst of the storm, but he promises to never leave us or to forsake us. Mark says this, and they saw him, they making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When we go through trials, when we go through storms in our lives, sometimes we think we're alone. We get depressed, we get down, we hurt, we can't explain it. But if we know and really know and recognize Jesus, then we know that we are never alone. The unknown Jesus to our society today, people look at the church, people look at us as representatives, ambassadors for Christ, and they say, golly, if Jesus is anything like you, Paul, I don't want anything to do with that. So the life that we live has got to be an example of what Christ has done for us. I mean, some people, when you start to say, hey, Jesus needs to get a hold of your life, what's the first thing you think about? Oh, man, he's going to turn me into some kind of fanatic. I'm going to be a Jesus freak. Next thing you know, I'm going to be speaking in a weird language. I'm going to have to move to Africa and start sharing stuff with people I don't even know. I don't even know their language. You know, he's going to send me to places I don't want to go. And we think he's going to turn us into a fanatic. Or what do they think Jesus is today, you know? With all of the stuff with the abortion and the gender confusion and the political stuff that's all going on. Oh yeah, you go to church, you're a Christian, you're narrow-minded, you're a bigot, you don't know anything, you're just a simpleton. You know, you need to be enlightened because they don't recognize Jesus. And at first the disciples don't either. What is this? There's a ghost coming across the water. What are we going to do? But I think the last thing is knowing Jesus, recognizing Jesus, receiving him. I love what it says in verse 20. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. You know, the Bible oftentimes, when the angels would appear, the first thing they said was, do not fear, don't be afraid. And here's Jesus coming out in the midst of a storm saying, don't be afraid, it's me. In other words, the storm can rage and rage and rage, but don't be afraid because I'm here. And I love that because even in the midst of the storms that are raging in our life, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Do you believe that? Jesus came at their darkest hour. Both Matthew and Mark say that Jesus showed up around the fourth watch, and that's between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. And I've heard it said, you probably have too, that it's always the darkest before the dawn. The disciples, think about it, they had exhausted themselves, all their resources, and the storm just kept going. They were going nowhere. They simply couldn't make it on their own, and guess what? Neither can we. Neither can we. We have got to have Jesus in our life. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to live in that. Or we will be overwhelmed. We'll be tossed about, trying to do things in our own strength. At the darkest hour of the night, Jesus made his presence known to his disciples. Remember that he was nearby watching. I love the way Matthew put it. He was sitting on the mountain. He sees his disciples fighting the storm on the sea. Do you see that? He sees what's going on. He sees what's going on in your life. He sees what's going on in my life. There may be a storm raging in your life and in your world right now, but Jesus is watching and he knows. And he will come to us and he will say, listen, it's me, don't be afraid. But are we ready to receive him? Jesus came to comfort them. Notice the thing, Jesus didn't stop the storm. Jesus didn't, you know, he could have just said, hey, stop the storm, let the guys finish out, I'll finish with my Father, and then I'll just kind of appear over there. He came out in the middle of the storm, and he brought them comfort and reassurance in the midst of the storm. Jesus' prayer in the garden before he was taken and arrested was that we wouldn't be taken or removed from this world, but that we would have strength and power and we would have unity in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this world, in the midst of all of this craziness that's going on in our lives. I think about David in the Old Testament, the king. There are so many of his psalms where he is crying out to God. He's crying out because there are enemies against him. He's crying out for things that he has done in his life. In Psalm 63, it says this, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and I meditate on you in the watches of the night. There may be all kinds of things going on that we don't understand, that we can't control, that we seem like we're just banging our head against the wall. We're going two steps forward and three steps back, and we're just not making it. But when we meditate and we reflect on Jesus, when we remember that he is here with us, then even in the darkest part of our storm, we have hope. His presence melts away fears in the midst of a storm. Just remember that there's no guarantee that he will calm the storm, but he will be with us in the darkest hour. Where he says, in this world, you will have trials. You will have tribulation. You will have problems. You will have things that you don't expect, but don't worry about it because I am with you. And one of the things that I found fascinating, if you look at verse 21, He says, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he says this, and then they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at land to which they were going. And as I kept reading that, what stuck out to me was there, they were glad to take him into the boat. You ever notice Jesus never forces himself on anybody? It says he stands at the door and knocks. It doesn't say he kicks the door in and just busts in. Jesus is waiting for us to accept him, to bring him in, to recognize him. And the disciples, I love what it says. They were glad to take him into the boat. Man, we are glad you're here. And then it says, then immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. In other words, hey, what just happened? How did we get here? Jesus' presence is never forced. You know, when the disciples, when they got in the boat and the sun was shining and everything was going well, they didn't seem to be too concerned about where Jesus was. Oh, he's just up on the mountain. He'll catch up with us later. You know, he's Jesus. He does his own thing. Let's just go. They weren't even concerned with his lack of presence. But when the storm came and the storm hit and they were exhausted and they were at their final end of the rope, Jesus came to them and they willingly received him. Hey, we're so glad you're here. We need you to be our Savior. The Lord promises that he will draw near to us if we draw near to him. James puts it this way, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Do you see that? You draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Jesus knocks at the door. You open the door, he comes in. He's standing there at the boat saying, in the storm of your life, saying, you know what, don't worry about it, it's me. But he's waiting for you to say, hey, we're glad you're here. Get into the boat with us. His presence changes everything, y'all. Do you get that? I mean, this is a familiar story. A lot of times we just read that, oh, yeah, man, Jesus walking on the water, you know. And I think in Matthew it's like, hey, Peter, come on out. You walk on the water. And there's a sermon in there where he starts, but then the waves are still, the storm's still going, and he takes his eyes off of Jesus and begins to sink. There's a whole sermon in that as well. But in this short story here, there's so much wisdom and so much truth. You know, we live in a time where there are tons of storms that are happening out there. And we need to understand that Jesus' presence changes everything. Matthew and Mark tell us as soon as Jesus stepped into the boat, then the storm stopped. John tells us that immediately the ship was at land. Everything changes because of the presence of Jesus. And I think both the ship and the storm had served a purpose. They helped to teach that the disciples the importance of Jesus' presence. And I think it's important for us to realize the importance of Jesus' presence. Where are you, God, in the midst of all that COVID stuff? Well, you know what? I think he used the COVID to help wake up the churches and say, you know what? Quit running on autopilot. You need to be serious about the message of the gospel. And so you better find ways to get the message out there. And guess what? All the churches had to shift and figure out, what are we going to do? We can't just sit here and hope everybody comes to us, because they're not. And we live in a time of culture where people are not just going to come, hey, I just wanted to come check out the church. I just wanted to see what y'all were all about. We live in a time where it's important to live for yourself. Get all you can. It's all about you. And every day another storm happens, something happens bad. And we turn on the news and we see it and we get depressed, but yet Jesus is saying, hey, don't be afraid. I am with you. It's me. You just hang on, because I am on the throne. I am looking at you. I'm interceding on your behalf. I will be your anchor. So that now, no matter the circumstances, we who are his disciples now have Christ with us always, and he will bring us through and see us through. And sometimes it feels like we're carrying the weight of the world, even those of us that are Christ followers, and we know that Christ is with us, but we still feel like we're carrying the weight of the world. But just know, when we come out on that other side, he was there all the time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are yours and you are ours, and we can share that song of victory, that victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Father, I pray that the storms that we go through, whether they're minor storms, whether they're major storms, Father, that these would be opportunities for us to strengthen and deepen our relationship with you. That we wouldn't turn to ourselves first and in our own strength. Father, that we would fall on our faces, on our knees, in our prayer rooms, in our cars, wherever we're at, and just cry out to you, Father. Help us, Father, to recognize your hand in all of the things. We know that the scripture says that all things work for the good for those who trust in you. And Father, we just know, help us to understand that. Help us to understand that the storms that we go through are making us stronger, that the trials in our lives are opportunities for us to pour light into a dark world. Father, we just thank you for today, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.